their practice into so many more things. And from their own home, spread out from there into other things. And this was kind of like a wish come true for me, that we would all learn how to be much more integrated with our practice into all aspects of our ordinary life, our daily life. And so to see people doing that by doing online retreats, I feel like it was the missing link that we really needed. I didn't know we needed it, but I feel really grateful that we have it. And so some of you, many of you have done online retreats. Some of you might be interested in doing online retreats. And there's the obvious, for some of you who have been participants in the retreat, there's the benefits you received. There's people like Deanna and Lish and a whole slew of other people who have been volunteers supporting those retreats. And they find that it's a significant way of practicing and training and learning in its own right. And for some of the volunteers who can't be in California, can't be in Redwood City or Santa Cruz, that this is by volunteering is how they really develop a stronger sense of sangha, practice community, because they get to talk to others. So what I thought we would do as together is let's spend just a couple of minutes, maybe 5 minutes meditating. And I'm not calling it speed meditation, but it is, don't be ambitious about this meditation. Rather, there's something about putting your body in the meditation posture or your, and in some sense, closing your eyes perhaps, or, and re-familiarizing yourself with something about your own inner connection to the practice. Maybe there's an embodied feeling of, oh, I know this place, I know here. Even if you're agitated or thinking a lot, just there's something here that you reconnect to for these 5 minutes. Oh, thank you for this quiet time. So I'll give you a little bit of a sense of the plan. Is I want to introduce to you Lish, and partly because to appreciate the fullness, the full range of the benefits that come with doing these online retreats. Lish has been, she was once a resident volunteer at IRC and saw that life from the inside. And she's one of our major volunteers who's thinking a lot about how to support the online community, all of you. And she's come up with ideas and plans and all kinds of things. And she herself is an online volunteer. And I thought of kind of expanding the domain or the range of what online retreats are about. It might be nice for some of you to hear her talk about how she's benefited from this volunteering and that part of it, and how she sees it as part of her integral to her own practice. And Lish, I'm very grateful, both Lish and Deanna. The last since the beginning of the year or so, something we're not quite sure what it is has shifted. And we've been quite thin with having volunteers to be able to put on everything online. And they've been working hard to kind of find enough volunteers, get them all set up and scheduled and figured out how to make these online retreats work. And that's been both a part of their practice, which is kind of phenomenal to have witnessed how they so wholeheartedly just took it on in a matter-of-fact way, like this was also what practice is. So Alish, and then we'll do a breakout group for 10 minutes where you get a little to have a chance to meet each other and say hello, and it won't be long, 10 minutes. And then but also if there's time, is just share a little bit about what the significance has been or the benefits you received from your online retreats you've done. And if you haven't done one, you're here just checking it all out, then maybe you can say what you imagine the benefit might be, or your hope. So Radlish, why don't you say a few words? I'd love to hear you.
Thanks, Gil. I'm just noticing, Gil turning the mic over to me feels a little intense. And that's certainly something that arises in service, is to come in and out of different roles and to step up and do what's needed when it's needed, that practice, but not identify with that, not judge myself, to do what, like I said, what's needed. So that's one benefit, is for me to practice with noticing conceit and identity and an ego arising and falling and judgment. It's also a lot for me about feeling connected, and that I'm not anonymous, and that having a role gives me that a little bit more. And I notice my heart opens more to other people. There's a feeling of care. And I also receive that from other people. And I live alone, and there's a freedom to that, and there's also challenge to that. So feeling part of this sangha is very important for me. I love retreat. It sort of creates this temporary family community, and then it kind of dissipates, and we move in and out of that. And so, one question I have too is how to sort of sustain a sense of a larger sangha. I think those are the points I'd like to make. It's a training. A real training in the practice. I can practice in one way when I'm sitting by myself. And then when I'm working with someone else or I'm performing in some way, I see all sorts of new things come up. And that's super helpful for me to see and sometimes talk with other people, other Dharma people about, relational practice. And it's all opportunity for that. So really wonderful to be here and see all of you. Thanks.
So thank you, Lish, very much. And so, Deanna, if you could make maybe groups of four, approximately four, the way Zoom counts four, and then if some of you really don't want to be part of a breakout group, but would like to continue this way, we would ask, what we request of you is you actually leave the Zoom meeting for, 9 minutes or 8 minutes or something, and then rejoin. That way, it's just easier to get the breakout groups set up nicely without some, otherwise you get assigned to a room and then you don't show up and it's a little awkward with the numbers and all that. So, think that the numbers are stable.
All right. Wish you all the way. See you soon.
I think we're all back. In the end, you think it's fully closed, the rooms? Great. Well, welcome back, everyone. And the so now people are returning, also people who didn't go to the groups. Let's see the demand. So it's certainly true that for many of us who are involved in putting on these retreats, the retreat teachers, the volunteers, different, we're inspired and motivated to do this. And we probably, I speak for myself, we have more vision for how we can do a better job at the individual retreats, how we could do more retreats. And so that's certainly an aspiration we have. At the same time, it's very important that we don't stretch ourselves thin. And in the last few months, we have been stretched thin. And one of my roles has been maybe kind of not always a welcome role, but to let people know who are stretched thin with the volunteering, that if we don't have the volunteers, we can also cancel some of these things. And that's a real pity. But I feel like one of the strengths that we have to have, or we, or the part of the ground that has really supported IRC and IMC for all these years, is holding what we do a little bit lightly compared to how it is often in the world, so that we don't end up with people who feel exhausted or feel overstretched or signed up to be volunteer, but then they're kind of being called upon to volunteer more than they had been inspired to do. We want to keep what we do in the realm of inspiration, of people's, inspired generosity, that people look forward to and want to do this kind of thing. And I think that then that's kind of like the medium is the message. And so that's kind of partly my hope, is that the way we put on retreats, both in the way that we offer them freely and the way that they're freely offered also by the volunteers who are inspired to do that, that is something that is really nourishing for everyone involved and supports people in their practice and their lives. And so I think it's my role is to be the caretaker of that. And so be careful that we don't stretch ourselves thin. We don't end up with volunteers who are exhausted or worse around what they're doing. But I'm inspired by what we do, really inspired. And I thought that would be nice to hear now from some of you. If you have little testimonials of what the experience is like that hasn't been said so far, and benefits, if you have questions about what we're doing or suggestions, we can take a little bit of open time now for that. And I see one Zoom hand goes up. It's easier if you can do the Zoom hands if you know how. So, Suzanne?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this because I was in a group with Stan and I had thought of volunteering, but I'm not really good with technology. And so that's why I hesitated. But Stan said at the beginning when they were first offered in 2020, and I was a participant then, that it's been streamlined and so smooth you could do it in your sleep, practically. So, I thought, well, probably this would be a good time to volunteer. And I just don't know if people are aware on the online communities aware enough about what's involved. And there might be people like me who hesitate because they don't think they're very good at technology. But you do offer a training, as I understand. And maybe that's how to recruit more volunteers to just update us all about what's involved in online reach volunteering.
Not very nice. And I think we have two of the more currently primary trainers here, Deanna and Lish. And there's other people as well. And some of the people here have been trained. I think Paul Wallace, who has his hand up, he was recently trained. And I think Joe probably learned all this before anyone was trained. Who's also has his hand up. Joe's been a big, big volunteer managing so many things for us. And it's been, he's one of these, been this kind of super volunteer for our online offering. And so he probably wasn't trained, but he's now the one of the most skilled ones we have.
Actually, I teach in the Yan Li tradition.
Which means?
Yan Li taught me.
Okay, good. Okay, so you were trained. So thank you. So then, Michaela?
Thank you. Am I on? Yes, I'm on.
Yes.
So this is my story. It's not about volunteering, unfortunately, but I've done the last 3 or 4 years. I've done the May and September retreats. I do every morning with you that you're on, and so I feel like you are have been my teacher. And I had the very sad necessity of making a decision 2 days ago to cancel the May. This is May retreat that I was in. Because I've been sick for 3 weeks and then I got COVID at the end of all this bronchitis and I'm just not feeling good at all and haven't gotten my life, in order. So I'm going to take the next 2 weeks. It's very sad for me. I just wanted to tell you in person that
Oh.
I really, really miss it. And but I'm going to take the next 2 weeks and very consciously call it my recovery retreat practice because I live alone. I have a home monastery, I live in a beautiful place and I practice a lot. So I
Yeah.
just let you know that I'll be doing that and inspired by all the teaching that I've received from you. Gil, you're kind of magical. Every time you open your mouth and it kind of relates to something I need to hear. I just wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Then I'll open my mouth again. Now you gave me courage to open my mouth, and what I can say, hearing all that, is that I believe that the audio recordings of the talks actually become publicly available pretty quickly, and if not, you can contact someone, the registrar or someone, and we'll give you the link,
Okay.
so that if during this special recovery retreat you have, if you want to dip into some of those the retreat talks or
Thank you.
instruction, they can be
Thank you.
available for you.
I really appreciate it. But what I realize is my love of retreat is the concentrated state that I become, I get into, that I'm able to sustain and collected mind. And that's what I'm going to really miss because, daily life is not doesn't allow that as much.
That's very understandable to me, and I have some of the same attitude or feelings. And it's invaluable to learn to love the practice independent of the concentration state.
Yes, I know. I know. Thank you. I know. I just feel sad. And I guess
Yes.
I'll just be sad as long as I am. And then One day I'm going to go for a walk. I haven't gone for a walk for 3 weeks. I mean, I'm just not well. So
So
thank you.
I'm sorry you're not well. And if you're sad, then try to be a sad Buddha.
Yeah, I'll be a sad, but I'm actually a happy person. So thank you, Gil. That's appreciate very much being able to tell you that.
And Paul.
Thanks, Gail. Yeah, just to give a little testimonial about volunteering. I've been doing some volunteering the last year or so, I think, or a couple of years. And Joe trained me up, so I can testify to Joe is definitely a super volunteer and fantastic guy. And I've been working a good bit with Deanne as well. Deanne is fantastic and just really great, like everything she does, and a joy, absolute joy to be around and to do stuff with. And it's been great for me. I'm not in the area. I live in Uruguay in South America, but I've been following IMC for a long time and going back to Audio Dharma and things like that, which I see this is kind of like an extension of Audio Dharma, which is fantastic. But it's more interactive, I guess, and being able to do the retreats, like that was the one thing I felt I was missing, the sangha aspect of the practice. And after COVID and all the, it almost felt like, it was a great thing for me, all the online offerings that came out of that. And I started to meet people on the retreats, and then with the volunteer piece, I really started to meet a bunch more people. And that's been the big thing for me, for people who feel maybe isolated in their practice and don't live near IMC or near a Buddhist center. I think that's definitely a great, a really good resource. And one other thing to mention as well about people who maybe think about doing a retreat, but maybe the longer retreats are tricky. There's usually once a month, there's a day-long retreat on Saturdays, and those are absolutely fantastic. They're really lovely. There's a real nice, relaxed energy about them. I think people really enjoy those. I really enjoy them. And even to volunteer on the, if people want to volunteer on those, there's not as much to do. They're on a Saturday. They're very kind of, they're really lovely days. So I would definitely encourage people to do those if they get a chance.
Thank you, Paul. And then Della. That you're muted.
Paul just answered one of my questions, which is volunteering for a shorter amount of time. I don't know if I could commit for, 3, 4, 5 day retreats. The second thing that I think, just might help, at least it would help me, is to have an open public orientation that would explain exactly what it is we might do. I don't know if I had the computer skills, but I may. I don't know. So that's just a maybe a suggestion.
That's a great suggestion. And we had the plan that at the end of this, that Deanna was going to stay on for a little bit to just be available for questions about m more of those kinds of things. So some of that can happen today if you stay on when we finish at 12:30. Thank you, Beatrice.
Hi, Gail and everybody. I'm glad you brought this up because the last time there was a, they wanted volunteers, I tried to volunteer, and the first person that I got said that I didn't have the computer skills that were needed for what he needed. Then he gave me the name of somebody, I can't remember the name and email. Can't remember the person's name, but I did email her and she never got back to me. So, if you could explain, if somebody can explain what we need to do and maybe connect us to something, I would love to volunteer.
Well, let's take the last few minutes here to just make sure that that basic information of how to do that is provided. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Joe, you're muted. still muted. It went on briefly.
Oh, try this now. If you can shop on Amazon and buy things on Amazon, you can be a retreat manager on IRC. So that's basically the skill set required.
No credit card needed.
No credit card. So I don't know. Anyway, and we can explain. Deanna can explain more after the meeting. The other thing is, this is incredibly, incredibly, unbelievably, outstandingly rewarding thing to do. It's so rewarding. Every time I help with an online retreat, I've helped usually around 70 people have a retreat they couldn't have had otherwise. Usually around 40, well, almost always 40 full participants and maybe 30 auditors. And it's just incredibly rewarding. And that's really what I want, what I wanted to say.
Great, thank you. Hollis.
Similar to others in terms of just understanding what's required. I'm a full-time caregiver for my husband, so my limitations are a little different. I don't know how long I could do it for. So understanding, you know, various options with timing. Certainly, I couldn't do it multiple days, but you know, one day may be possible. And I had my own worries about the computer skills. I used to be a techie when I worked years ago, but those days seem to be gone now. So really, just hearing more about possibilities, a little more flexibility around time.
Great, thank you. And then Lish?
Yeah, I wanted to share that I think the first and most important way people can volunteer is their presence online. And, you know, showing up and on these retreats with your screen on and fully participating, I think is like the biggest service ever. So it's not always possible to do other things. I think Deanna will talk later about some of the tech things and the length of time, but don't disregard the power your presence has.
Great.
All of our presence has. Yeah.
Thank you. And then the last one, Sally.
Hi. I am someone who became physically disabled, and I had done many years of intensive practice. The kind of help I needed in order to participate on these long retreats was as simple as asking someone to give me the schedule, which took a period of maybe 10 to 11 minutes so that I could hand write it down, because part of my injuries were sustained in a collision, an auto collision. I am mobility restricted in chronic pain, and I also have a concussion related injury. So all somebody had to do was take 10 to 11 minutes on the phone and tell me what the schedule was, and I could write it down. And that was basically it. I'd like to just make a pitch for the people, the demographic that I still would urge you to do outreach for are the physically disabled nationally, because we have no other options. And there are actually many physically disabled without the kind of concussion-related injuries who are perhaps paraplegics or people with other predicaments that are good at computer technology and have the time to become volunteers for you. And number three, the way to reach them is for me to invite you, Gil, to be a guest on an episode of my grant-funded podcast called Secret Lives of the Disabled, in which you speak about what you do at IRC and that you offer this opportunity. And I have done that for several communities of faith and Sangha leaders. So if you would like to do that, that's what I could volunteer so that you could get the word out. Our listeners, the metrics are that most of our listeners are allies of the physically disabled who would also be interested in volunteering.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Sally. I'm sorry for your experience, and we certainly want to try to do better. And I've thought about the opportunities now with Already, the people who can't leave home are coming to these retreats, but there's a whole population of people who need more attention, are sick, and there might even be some time when we can do a retreat for specifically for people who need more extra care, and maybe have a whole army of volunteers who really support everything, and the people come feel like they're in their community of people who don't understand. So as we develop our volunteer base, I think this is something that should be definitely be done. And as for being on your podcast, maybe you should at least wait until we're built up enough that we can really accommodate people better than your experience. Because I'd be sad if we kind of weren't, if we people felt people wanted to connect to us, but we weren't quite able to support them as much as they needed.
But I'm saying you could put a call for volunteers, and it's the grant funding is going to be ending, so it's up now, and we could get this done, and then you could draw from that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you very much. So this is so we're coming to the end of the time scheduled, and I'm just delighted to be here with you all. I'm delighted that what we do with the online, it's enriched my life considerably, I feel, to do this with you all. And I wonder, you know, coming to the end of this hour, whether probably it'd be a good idea, nice thing is to do this maybe once a quarter or something, or I don't know what the level of interest might be. But if we could maybe do it once a quarter and just to stay in touch with each other and hear from each other and talk and be supported. I've also been thinking about that in general, for both the people doing online retreats, but also people in person retreats, it might be invaluable for us to put together, built into the whole schedule and structure, a follow-up meeting after every retreat. Because of what we can do on Zoom. And I think that will really help people understand how to continue the practice or apply the practice after a retreat into their lives and touch back into that. So I think that's also something that I'd like to see us develop. So more will keep coming. That's, I hope. We'll develop this whole online offering. It has a lot of potential, and it'll just grow. And I certainly look forward to it. And I'm very grateful to be part of this whole community that's doing so much now and practicing so much. So maybe that's enough for me. And I don't know if there's anything else. And then I thought I'd say, you know, formally end it and then maybe turn it over to Deanna to if people want to stay and talk with her and find out more from her. But Deanna or Lish, do you have anything, or Inez is here as well, anything more you feel like should be said now in the last couple of minutes?
A few things from my end that, you know, you've said before, Gil, is that there is no they. So the reality is that everyone's a volunteer. We're all collectively putting these retreats on. And so sometimes, emails get lost or there's a shift in who's handling something. And so I hope that can just be held lightly, that we're all trying hard to pull it all together. And sometimes we miss a beat. And the best way on the volunteer front to hook in is to fill out a application online. And I'm just going to put that in the link so that everyone has access to that. And thank you, Gil.
Okay. Well, this was more about volunteering than I anticipated it would be about. And, but it was very nice. It's an important part of our overall community. And, so thank you for being here, and until next time we meet, I wish you well. And now I'll turn it over to Deanna and for those of you who are, I don't know, are leaving, if you want to turn unmute yourself and say goodbye, we'll take a minute or so for that. And then those of staying can stay on.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Thanks, Gil.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
What fun.
I just checked. I don't know, Diana. I just checked the application online, but there's no, at least that I can see, there's no place for, I live in Rhode Island, so it's on the East Coast of the United States. There's no place for the an online volunteer. That's the only way I could do so. So,
Lish, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah.
Sure. So this is the this application is for volunteers throughout the entire organization.
Okay.
So some of the questions are for people who are local. In addition, there'll be places where you can indicate that you'd like to offer something from home, and that can be a place you can look. And then in addition, where there's an area for retreat support, and I believe there's an option for an online retreat manager. And I think Deanna will talk more about what that particular job is and what's required for that. Does that work for you, Carmen?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much, Lish. It was just a bird glance at the form, volunteer form.
Thanks, Lish. All right.
I'll just say one thing, Carmen. One of the things on our wish list when we get some bandwidth is to create a separate online volunteer form. Which make it clearer and easier. So just so you know, we understand that it's not as the form was created before this was created.
Yeah, thank you for the clarification, Inez.
Thank you, Inez. All right. Well, Gil, thank you. You're welcome to stick around, but you know, if you need to take off and do another retreat, we understand. And maybe I'll, after you close out, then I'll just start taking questions, but please.
Yeah. I would, you remind me. Yes, I think I have a retreat starting today. I'll stay a couple more minutes, but I'll basically, this is my goodbye. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Gil and Diana, I have to leave because I'm editing, but just to say, Gil, if you can record something before June 25th or June 21st, I can hold it in post-production if you feel that would be best. But I do have a number of subscribers who are reference librarians who would be interested, and they have the qualifications to volunteer. So it has really taken off. And if we can get you recorded and you don't want it to run until August maybe or something, we could at least get something on there.
Yeah. So I'd like to. It just, my schedule is so packed. But let me get back to. I'll send you an email.
Okay. Bye. Sure. All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Sally. So the first hand I see is my name twin. Hi, Deanna.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, me too. I was just wondering, well, in the volunteer application, it says that if you're a U.S. citizen or if you're a resident, I'm not. Well, I'm in Mexico. And I was wondering if you could take volunteers from another part of the world. I just wanted to know what to put in there. And, well, I have been hesitating a lot about that. But, well, I think I have the courage now. So, yeah, I don't know if it's available.
Thank you. That's a great question. And that is one of the reasons that, like Inez mentioned, we're going to develop form, a volunteer form for online only, because the citizenship question is relevant to long-term volunteers on site. I would suggest that IRC specializes in international volunteers named Deanna, because I also am a Canadian citizen. So I would say absolutely, for online, the more the merrier. And it's so lovely to really get a sense of the global sangha. Before this retreat that's starting today, I'll just say that the online teacher, who's Diana Clark, who many of you know and love also, asked me to look through the roster of the yogis and get a feel for how many continents and countries and time zones represented all of the yogis. And we have something like 8 time zones and 4 continents. And it's amazing, the people from everywhere. And it warms my heart so much to know that there's folks from everywhere. So I would say, go for it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Leslie, please.
Hi, Deanna. I wanted to check what to do next. I'm one of the people who sent a form in, and then I got approved by Lish. She sent it to you, and I never heard from you. So I'm not sure what I should do next. Should I just resend that email to you that Lish sent to me?
I can speak to this.
Yes.
I'm about to go on this retreat this guy Gil is offering.
Yes.
So I'll be offline for 2 weeks and then I will circle back to you because that's my responsibility. Does that work?
Okay. Well, one of the thoughts I had is, what about a group training? So it reduces your hours spent training people, because you might get a group of people who volunteer, and then you guys can do it all at once.
That's
And
a
then we can get to
that's
know each other.
wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. And again, I will check in with you later in May and
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing the 2 week
based on
re online retreat as well. So I will wait to send it to you till after the retreat is
that.
over.
Okay. Great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Susan.
Hi again. So I just on my other screen was able to see the volunteer form that currently exists. And so they do ask if you've been to so should we just adapt it for online use? Because, for example, there's have you been to IRC in person for a retreat? And I have not been lucky enough to be there. But I can certainly change the questions and put online volunteer at the heading, if that would be of help.
Yeah, thank you for that question. Oh, sorry, someone was. Did I speak over someone?
But can I just say so add something to that question?
Please.
In general, the since the form is doesn't quite fit this online thing the way we'd like it to fit, feel free to put everything. There's a comment section at the bottom, and just feel free to write everything you need to say down there. It's
Okay.
just it's going to be Lish and Deanna looking at it, and so it's clear if it's clear to you, it'll be clear to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Inez. Are there other questions, or do folks have a preference maybe for how this time might feel most helpful? Valerie, please.
I would really like to know if you could do what I thought you were going to do, but is say what volunteer possibility, what are the possibilities for volunteering? Because I don't have a clear sense yet of, what's possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, happily do that. Let me just grab Della's question real quick and see if I can fold that in, and then we'll do that next. Della, please. Oh, you are muted.
That might be one of the reasons why. Yeah, I'd like to build on the previous comment is that even periodical Zooms for short periods of time to actually say this is specifically what we need time-wise and, you know, have co-facilitators for, you know, volunteers so that, you know, the burden isn't put on, you know, the same one, two, three, four people. Because there may be someone that isn't as computer savvy, or, you know, like with me, I have a disability too. And I, you know, committee might be, I don't, you know, I cannot do it from one day to the other, but I might be able to, you know, communicate with somebody or let them know when things are going on and how to get in contact. In other words, not just the scope of volunteering, but what type of volunteering there might be other than computer related, or if it's computer related, be an assistant to one particular or two particular people. So, you know, there's not that much pressure on the newbies. Like if I volunteered, I'd be freaked out, you know, the first couple of times. So that's I guess just a suggestion. Thank you. And by the way, you guys do a great job because I've done a couple of the online retreats and it just amazes me how quick you get back to people and how well you explain things by chat. You know? So thank you for doing this.
Thank you. I'm glad that that has been your experience in the online retreats. Thank you for sharing that. And I think, I like your idea. And one way to start exploring that is actually on the volunteer application when it lists all of these different options. There are often little parenthetical notes like can be done at home or the types of skills like word processing or, you know, that sort of thing with the different roles. But I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you that clear communication around that could really be beneficial for many. Okay, let's, Lorena, please.
Thank you. Yeah, so I've only done one retreat with IRC, and it was so wonderful. And so I welcome doing myself to do more of them. But I it's wonderful to hear the range of experiences, and it seems like there's a lot of folks really involved, and I'd like to get more involved, but I feel like too much of a newbie still. And so Is there like a weekly sangha? Because I was looking on the website and it looks like just retreats, but maybe folks are just avid retreaters, which is awesome. I want to be too, or I am, but not all every month or whatever. Is there a way to connect more regularly and develop a sense of community and sangha so that one might feel more comfortable raising my hand to say, I'm ready to volunteer? Like, yeah, just... And that maybe is too not on topic, but yeah, just wondering. Thank you.
No, thank you for that. That is valuable. I will say there's lots of points of entry, and Lish has just put in the chat the IMC, InsightMeditationCenter.org website link, and on there you can check the calendar, and you can find everything from daily 7 a.m. Pacific sits every weekday to happy hour metta, heart opening practices in the evenings. There's day-long retreats like Paul mentioned earlier that are on the IRC website. It's really easy to navigate between the IMC and IRC websites. They link to each other on the pages, but there's lots of ways to start getting to know people and deepening your practice and having more interaction with teachers and practice leaders and things like that. And then there's Audio Dharma, of course, right? Which has everything that is done at IR and IMC on there. And you can just go in and listen to those anytime you want. Yeah. Thank you. And so, Yaisha, let's do that. Let's hear your question, and then we will do a quick overview of volunteer positions, if that works for folks. Please.
Yes, thank you. I was not going to say anything. I was going to just send an email, but to the last question that was asked, I go to, there's a sangha that meets right after the Sunday talk with Barry and Jan, and it's a wonderful way of connecting because the sittings on YouTube, you can see the people on the chat saying, you know, good morning from, you know, whatever part of the world, which is wonderful. But the Zoom connection of the Sangha afterwards really gives Jan and Barry and Peter and Helen have really created a sense of community that is so sweet. And I have found a great place to connect to the community there. So I wanted to share that. I have received so much from online retreats, and since the first time they said, if you want to volunteer, I wanted to, but then I don't know how to, you know, I gosh, this is hard to say, but I'm just afraid that not to be able to because of the schedule, the time difference, or, you know, for example, I'm on East Coast time right now. And doing standard time in the US, instead of 3 hours apart, it would be 4 hours apart. So sometimes I don't go to the last session because it's 11 in the evening for me and I'm sleeping. So from stuff like that, I'm saying, I don't know, I'm not gonna be able to do it. And sometimes I can't be in a retreat as a full participant. For this one that starts today, I'm gonna be there as an auditor because I do have some stuff going out in my own world. So all those things, and I guess that if that's why I asked for your emails, because then I could ask you directly. But I do want to, I have the desire, and I think it would be a great way to give it back to the community because I've received so much, and I will be forever grateful that this was set up during the pandemic. Like you say, Diana, it was a game changer for me in my practice. I'm far away, so I had limited access to in-person retreats, and this really, I felt included, and I felt that I'm having a lack of words right now for the gratitude that I feel. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think you very nicely summed up what I certainly feel and the gratitude that I think many of us feel. So let's talk a little bit about some of the volunteer opportunities, and I'll try to sprinkle in some responses to questions that other folks have had about I live in a different time zone and that kind of thing. I'll put out there that I live in the Eastern time zone as well. And one of the volunteers that spoke up earlier, Paul, is 1 hour, he's 4 hours different from California as well. We also have volunteers in Germany and France, which are 9 hours different than IRC in California. So there really are many, many ways to be involved. So let's see, I have quarter till the hour now. Maybe we'll plan this time for going to the hour. Just because I then have to facilitate another meeting for the pre-retreat, the retreat that's starting today. And if there's more questions, I'll put my email address in the chat, or maybe Lish could put my email address in the chat for me, please and thank you. And also the volunteer application is linked there, and those are ways to get in touch with me. So,
I could stay longer too, Deanne.
oh, thank you, Joe. Joe is actually one of the amazing managers on this upcoming retreat as well. And he trained me in almost everything. So he's actually way better for this than I am. But maybe what I'll say is that for online opportunities, maybe the biggest, the role that the most people occupy maybe would be the online retreat manager. And if you've taken any online retreats, then you've seen us or experienced us. The role of the online retreat manager starts a little bit before the retreat, extends throughout the duration of the retreat, and then ends on the last day of the retreat. So that person's role is to, of course, offer technical support to yogis and teachers, help set up websites and the computer stuff that people will interface with, and also to provide a warm and welcoming, hopefully supportive of practice environment online, as well as we can do online, you know, to really sort of create that warm and welcoming Sangha that they experience at IRC in person. So Gil has a beautiful piece, an essay that he wrote about the Dharma of service. And in there, he writes about the online manager has a sort of a grandparent love for the yogis, you know, investment and interest and support, but also allowing people their own practice experience and sort of setting up an equanimous and supportive relationship. So for an online retreat manager, you can be in different time zones. I'm in the Eastern time zone. There's two shifts per day, an AM manager and a PM manager. During that time, it's about an 8-hour shift. You're pretty near your computer. I'm going to say you're keeping an eye to make sure that the video feed from IRC is okay. You're responding to yogi notes because we have notes online like they do at IRC and at the meditation centers. You're responding to questions that folks have. You're supporting the teachers, the online teachers. You know, if they need to get in touch with a specific yogi, then you may kind of arrange that conversation. You don't do any Dharma teaching or any Dharma conversations. We are more administrative and logistic. The teachers handle all Dharma related everything. There are two meetings before each retreat with the retreat team. We figure out what times to have those based on the retreat team's availability. During the retreat, when you're not on your shift, you're practicing. You're a full participant. So you're taking practice discussions, you know, you're sitting and walking, you're doing whatever your practice is, and you're not doing any of the management stuff, not checking notes, not doing any of that when you're not on your shift. The teachers also offer a special practice discussion for the service leaders with each retreat. So there's a nice opportunity to sort of explore your practice through service, how you're experiencing it through service. The training for online retreat managers is a group training, and Lish and I are overhauling it to try to, you know, make it something that might work better for folks and for us. It's a couple of hours, I'd say 2 to 3 hours. And then there's shadowing. And shadowing is when you come onto a retreat as a manager in training and you are literally shadowing. You know, you're seeing how everything works on the back end. You're asking the managers on duty questions. You're attending meetings. You're sort of learning the flow of how things go. I kind of feel that folks should have the shadowing opportunities that they feel they need. You know, usually one retreat of shadowing is enough, but maybe not. You know, so we just sort of we work with that. I would say that. Echoing what Joe said about if you can buy things on Amazon, then you can volunteer. I mean, it's not rocket surgery, and it really helps to have some pretty good facility in Zoom. It helps to feel comfortable communicating through typing, you know, so doing notes, so written communication. It helps to be familiar with a variety of operating systems, so sort of PC and Mac. You don't have to be an IT person, a network administrator in any of these things, but just to have awareness of how those operating systems differ. There is time that you spend in front of your screen. So that is a very powerful practice. And it is best, I think, experienced in a practice that already has a pretty solid stability, because it's a challenge, like coming in and out. And I mean, that's wonderful. It's absolutely supercharged my practice, and it has been really challenging sometimes, you know, but it's all in the container of service and practice, which is quite lovely. So the online retreat manager is probably the biggest time commitment. We ask that if you get trained, that you commit to at least 3 retreats a year or 3 weeks a year. So like for these multi-week retreats, for example, we have them split. So this is a 2-week retreat coming up that starts today. And there's one set of managers for week 1 and 1 for week 2. So you wouldn't be, you know, managing for 14 days straight. You know, we split those kinds of things up. So that's sort of the the biggest part of the pie chart for online retreat volunteers. There's also things that require less synchronized interaction. You don't have to be a certain place at a certain time as much. We have things like volunteering to be a registrar. These are the people that register. You've all interacted with registrars. They register people for retreats, answer basic questions. We have registrars for online retreats and registrars for in-person retreats. These folks are engaged with the retreat from several months out up until the start of the retreat, but the weekly time commitment is much, much less. So that's something that you'd also want to be familiar with: basic computing, basic spreadsheet, Google Docs, super basic data entry skills would probably be helpful, and be willing to be on your email. Check emails at least daily, and closer to the retreat, a couple times daily is helpful. Let's see, there's audio editors. This is a quite a high-tech job. So I mention it with a bit of hesitation, but it usually self-selects for folks who know when they're like, ah, audio editing, I've got this, So if that's you, fill out a volunteer application. But these are the folks that prepare the audio recordings and post them to Audio Dharma. So they're critical. This is a great role for folks in very far away time zones, because sometimes it has a time sensitive component, and in other cases it doesn't. So that can be something for folks that live further away.
Yeah, so can registrar.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, registrar is another good one. Let's see, if you are a programmer or a developer and have these very specific sort of high level tech skills, there are roles for that. I won't go into the details of those here, but if you are a programmer or a developer, then and you're interested in service, there's all sorts of opportunities there, all different sorts of time commitments. Let's see, what else, Joe and Lish, and who are my other volunteers that are still on here?
I
What
want
roles
to
am I
add in,
forgetting?
if you're ever local on a Saturday, check to see if IRC is having a work day, because that's such a good way to get to know the community. You don't have to RSVP, you could just show up. It's always helpful to let us know so we know how much lunch to make, but it's once a month. You can check the calendar. And IRC, again, since we're all volunteers, including like the people that receive these applications and we go on retreat, things kind of take time. Sometimes we don't need people here, and then sometimes we need people there. So tell us anything you want to tell us about what you might offer. And in a year, you might get an email from someone saying, hey, we're actually working on this right now. So just know that that happens. And it's more challenging with online because it is pretty intense, both from a practice standpoint in terms of holding your space and like being non-reactive and grounded. I find it's pretty hard actually, and the tech requirements. So it's like not for everyone. And that's just what we need in part to have these retreats run. So.
Yeah, thank you. I think, that yes, and maybe in addition to some like basic familiarity with Zoom and web browsers and email clients, maybe the most important quality is maybe two qualities, or maybe generosity and flexibility. They're definitely up there. A willingness to learn, an interest in finding your own edges of your practice, because you will. Be really being open to occupying that beginner's mind, really being in there, learning new things, learning new ways to do things. Maybe you do this particular type of work and you do it differently in your job. That's cool. But really just an openness can really, and a real commitment to the online Sangha, which you all have because you're all here right now. I think those are pretty important because tech tasks can be learned, right?
Yeah, and everything is scripted. Everything's written down. If something comes up, there's a script for handling it. And also, in terms of alleviating any performance anxiety concerns, you do have to, it can be a practice in a practice opportunity. Like maybe the network has gone down. And so it's a practice opportunity not to leave your own, well, I think Liz said space, and just deal with it in a mindful manner. And also the other thing about performance anxiety is everybody in the audience is a retreat is a meditator. And so if there are any irregularities, they'll deal with it. And the other thing is you're not out there by yourself. You have your other manager, and also you have what's called a retreat mentor. Like Deanna is the retreat mentor for today's retreat. And any question that arises, anything you don't understand, you can just contact the retreat mentor about it. So with a mindfulness practice attitude towards everything, you don't really need to feel any performance anxiety. And I don't know. What do you think about what I said? Anything to add, Diana or Lish?
I feel that for my part, I think that was perfect. I think that there's something that's really special about being able to practice while you're doing these tasks that many of us do daily, meet with people, send emails, that kind of thing. To do that as part of your practice can be pretty neat. So I think that that's probably Well, that's about the time that we have. Thank you so much for your interest. Lish linked the my she put my email in there. She put the link for the volunteer application. Like Inez said, just load up the comments field. There are options for online things in there. Denote those and then just explain anything to us. And thank you so much for your patience in our response time. We are but two people.
And we're both going on retreat.
And we're both going on retreat. But I love this online sangha and I really appreciate you all being here. And I really appreciate being your fellow yogi. And I look forward to seeing you all on the internet. So thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.